This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week are Sam Claiborne.
Reporting for duty.
Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And Colin Stevens has returned to us.
Welcome. Hey, gamers.
And we've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about the games that are still expected this year. They haven't been delayed. They haven't gotten a delay, but they don't have a release date yet. And there's some interesting ones in the mix there. We'll talk about some news updates this week, like the PlayStation Plus games for October, and a sequel to a classic arcade game that this guy is excited for. Maybe no one else. Ooh. But first, let's share what we've been playing. I'll go first. In addition to Return to Monkey Island, which I'm still playing, I've been playing a game called Jack Move. Is anyone familiar with this one? It's new.
No.
Okay. Let me explain the Damien-ness of Jack Move. It's the gameplay. It's a very, very classic, traditional Japanese RPG, although I think the developer is in the UK or Europe, but Japanese RPG, walk around an overworld, get into random battles that are turn-based. You have, attacks, magic in quotes, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Use items to heal yourself. But the setting is cyberpunk. The visual style is pixel art, and it is amazing. Some of the absolute best pixel art of the year. And then to top it all off, it has a great like synthwave soundtrack and even its own like victory theme, just like Final Fantasy does. That's really catchy.
So the Jack.
Oh, whoa! That was so dramatic.
Whoa!
Freeze frame.
Whoa!
This is for
the. Oh, we lose me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he's coming back. You're coming back. You're back now.
So yeah. I was going to ask: is the Jack in this scenario like jacking into the internet?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's very cyberpunky. It's all about using hacking into things, cyberware, cyberpowers, that sort of thing.
Cool.
Yeah, it's great. It's fairly new. I think it's just a week or two old, and I've been super enjoying it.
Did you play CrossCode ever?
No, but I know the game you're talking about. And actually, I think you and I maybe like checked that out when we were playing our game. It's fun to check out games on Steam.
Yep, that's right. We did. I forgot about that. This, I don't know if it plays like it at all. I'm just looking at Jack Move on Steam, and it's got a similar vibe, at least. Maybe not in gameplay.
And you have to really see the pixel art in motion to appreciate it. It's great. It's really, really stunning. And it's out. I think it's out on everything right now. I'm playing it on Xbox. Sam, what say you? I know you're getting ready for a trip. Maybe you haven't had time.
No, I have a good one, okay. But I'm going to do a reconnect real quick just because it looks like I'm lagging.
Okay, then we'll go Colin.
Yes. So I just beat Tunic, which is an incredible game.
Yeah.
And everyone talks about the whole booklet guide that you collect the pages of throughout the game. But it really is what sets it apart from everything else. And it's extremely unique and creative and interesting. And it's just, it's wild how you'll be a few hours into that game and then the booklet will teach you something that you could have done from the beginning, but had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you just suddenly could have like golden pathed it, which is a very specific thing in this game. And you know, the next time you want to play through the game, you can do it that way. And it's just like, it's so wild and there's so many layers to it. And, you know, I made sure that I didn't use a guide throughout the entirety of the main game. But then I decided to sort of look some stuff up because there's a lot of, it's not even quite post game content, but additional stuff. If you want to get the good ending, you have to do all this stuff. And the game designer, of which is like one primary designer, is crazy. He is a crazy person. There's so much going on. The whole golden path thing, the golden cross, I think they call it. Like all of these little things and how there's just things hidden throughout the entirety of the booklet that are like absolutely essential to like get the secret ending and everything is crazy. And then don't want to spoil anything, but if you do absolutely everything that the game has to offer, there's like a lot of like outside of the game stuff that you can
there's
do.
Like an ARG it hands you to basically.
It's insane. Like it's so crazy to me. It makes sense why it took this guy so long to make this game now.
You know the did you ever play The Witness?
I did. It felt a lot like that to me.
I mean, I think it's like a more obviously like, you know, Zelda action-y game and everything, but like just the fact that like the knowledge of how to solve puzzles is really the upgrade tools that you get in that game. And, you know, you could just walk through The Witness, but like you spend so much time just learning how to like do each puzzle. And then that's what it is for Tunic too. It's so smart. It's so epitome cool. of game design. Like incorporate game design into the storytelling, into the teaching you mechanics. Like there's no other media on earth that can do something that's that cool. And it really works with my brain.
Yeah. And then right after I finished it, I was feeling really nostalgic for like a classic Dragon Quest game.
Ooh.
And cause I love Dragon Quest. I've played through all of the mainline entries. And I have all the DS versions, which I understand are actually, you can sell for a lot of money nowadays. And I almost started playing 4, and then I remembered that Dragon Quest XI Special Edition has an entire 2D mode. And I was like, you know what? This is going to be fascinating because I've played that entire game 3D. And so I decided to do that on the Switch. And it's a really interesting experience because it incorporates a lot of modern design into a 2D RPG that normally wouldn't quite have that design. Like there's side quests in this game, which is an extremely strange thing to do in a 2D RPG, but it works. And it also moves a lot faster than the 3D version. There's a lot less exploring in the towns because it's just not quite as much space that you have to cover. But everything that is in the 3D game is still there for you to do in some way, shape, or form. And so it's like an expedited version of the game. But you still get all the combat. It's random encounters instead of ones that you run into, which is interesting. But it's just really interesting to see. And there's like the whole skill tree and everything is still there, which is also kind of odd to see in a 2D RPG. So it's just really interesting playing this because it feels like, you know, like a fully produced classic Dragon Quest game made in the modern era. And so I'm really excited to finish it. I'm only probably like 4 hours in right now.
Colin, did you or did anybody ever end up trying the Final Fantasy pixel remasters, of which they are now through the full run now? You can get 1 through 7.
I never did because they're not on the Switch.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
They're only on phones and Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never did either, I don't think.
I mean, I was just looking up, because six got delayed until this year. And you know, it came out and it's like a widescreen pixel remake of Final Fantasy VI, which is like obviously super appealing. And I'm very, very curious about how it turned out. I really want to try it. And then I want to play through Final Fantasy V, which I've never
played through before. Oh, you've never played through V?
Mm-mm.
The job system's a lot of fun in that game. Yeah, I think if V had come to the West when it was supposed to, I think it would be held in a lot higher regard than it is. Its story is definitely like a downgrade from 4 and isn't as good as 6, but like pound for pound, the gameplay and like the underlying systems are really fun in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I need systems to draw me into those games more than story and graphics, which would have back then. But now those things get outdated, right? And so a good system would draw me in.
Okay, Justin, what are you playing?
Dude, not much. So I was out of town. We went camping, which was great, although it's very cold. So that part was not so great. I was out of town, and then I've been too busy with real life stuff to play too much. I've been getting a lot of, so I haven't got back to, I think I said last week, I was right at the end of Outer Worlds, and I'm still, you know, I'm still there kind of right at the end game of that. Been doing a lot of iPad gaming, been playing a lot of Battle Cats, been playing a lot of a game called Days Gone By, and just sort of like, sometimes I like to just kill time in like basically a grindy mobile game and, you know, something that like is just kind of can be your lifestyle for a few weeks. And, you know, Battle Cats and Days Gone By are two that I've been spending time with lately. I've been playing a browser game called Dodeca Dragons. That one's pretty cool. I got Magic Dragons now and Elder Dragons. And it's just sort of a game that you play in your browser that you know, is sort of text-based. That's been fun. But nothing nothing very flashy or interesting to share.
I saw that Shovel Knight Dig launched into Apple Arcade.
I did play Shovel Knight Dig. Dude, I already forgot about it. I played it for a whole evening the day it came out. It's really cool. I would not recommend playing on a touchscreen. You know,
that's what I was going to say. It's like, it's tempting to be able to play it at no additional charge, but I think I'd rather play it on Switch.
Although you can, so you can download it onto your Apple TV or onto your iPad, and then you can Bluetooth any controller. So, you know, an Xbox or PS5 controller. I played a lot of Apple Arcade games just with my PS5 controller hooked up via Bluetooth. And I just, I haven't done that for this one yet, but it's not, you know, it's not a pain, very easy and seamless to do. And it was really, really good and fun. Oh, the game Shovel Knight Dig is made by Nitrum, if you remember them. They were, oh gosh, I'm trying to think about what they're most well known for, but they made like 30 or 40 really gorgeous pixel art. I mean, games kind of like Shovel Knight Dig, and that's their reputation. And I didn't realize that they were the developer of this one until, you know, until I saw their logo on the splash screen.
So outsourced by Yacht Club while they're working on what, Mina the Hollower, right?
Yeah. Or I don't know if outsourced. I think that they just, you know, they're allowing other companies to make Shovel Knight games. I don't know that Yacht Club made the puzzle one either. Maybe they did.
Mina the Hollower, y'all. Whew. Yeah. Like just like total Link's Awakening style puzzle, you know, adventure action game. We have a big preview up on IGN today. Check it out. It's really, really cool.
I didn't even see that. Mm-hmm. All right, Sam, what have you been playing?
I wanted to try the flash in the pan that was Trombone Champ last week. So hooked that up. I did it on the Steam Deck, and the Steam Deck. Well, first of all, you saw a lot of funny videos about Trombone Champ last week was actually multifold. But one of the reasons is because it's like an impossible game to like get your pitches right. And part of that is because of the control scheme, which is like, I think it defaults to mouse, like it's your pitch up and down. And then, you know, a key or another button on the mouse is basically your blow or not to blow. And so when you do it on the Steam Deck, I was like, I'm always confused about what the Steam Deck's going to do for controls unless the game is kind of made for Steam Deck. And you know, you turn it on, and like, what's really funny about that game is that like somehow it's just already attuned to have like perfect touchscreen controls, which means like you can sound pretty good in it, like right off the start. So it's like, it's not as funny. So I had to basically demake it for the people, my friends over that were like trying it out and playing it and stuff. And I'd be like, don't use a touchscreen. Use this upside. Yeah, also, it defaults XY inverted because I don't know, trombones. I don't know why. So just had to kind of switch it to that to get the full chuckles out of it, so to speak. Yeah. But, you know, not a game going to go play forever, but I'm really happy that we had our little draw something of the year.
So you're saying it's one of the few games that's actually more fun if you're worse at it.
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely more shareable if you're worse at it. I mean, that's really what that game was. And that game is polished and charming and has layers to it. It is not just like a Guitar Hero knockoff. It is a parody of other things. It has a lot of really funny little moments and dialogue and trombone facts and stuff in it. It's a labor of love. And I do like reading the interviews and the kind of posts from the single human that made that game. He's like, I would really like to do all these things you all are asking for, but like, there's just no way that's going to happen. And like, now I'm thinking like, I wonder, you know, I hope there was a lot of monetary benefit to having a hit game for a week.
Yeah,
but also like, I don't think that game is going to have the kind of the I don't know if it's going to be a career like, I don't know, Fall Guys or whatever. Right.
Mm. Mm. You don't think it's a Flappy Bird?
Flappy Bird. What happened? Wasn't there like a tragic ending to the Flappy Bird?
Maybe yeah, the bird died games
forever.
He had a little bit of a meltdown. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be insensitive. Like, it was sort of a situation, and then you removed the game, like, you can't download it, removed it from the App Store, and yeah, sort of like felt very crushed by like the pressure. But then I know that that's not like the end of the story. Eventually he like kind of came back and put Flappy Bird back on the iOS and Android App Store. But as far as I know, he's not still out there making games. Like, I hope he's just laying on a beach somewhere.
Well, the Flappy Bird legacy lives on because there's a Flappy Bird knockoff in the Arcade Paradise on your handheld device in it, which is good.
Okay, yeah.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah.
Okay, 10 game release dates we are still waiting for in 2022. Let's go over these. First of all, a game release date we are not waiting for 2022 anymore is Skull and Bones.
Mm-hmm.
Recently delayed. For the fifth time.
Delayed 1 hour ago.
Yeah. Delayed right before. We got breaking news right before this recording.
Is that actually the fifth delay?
It's as far as we can tell. Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. I mean, this is a game that's been in development almost 10 years now.
Wow.
And then sort of disappeared, and we thought maybe it had just been canceled quietly and was re-unveiled this summer, given a November 2022 release date, now delayed again. This time to March 9th, 2023.
It dodged a bit of a cannonball, because it was supposed to come out the day before God of War, right?
Yeah, except that God of War had that release date first, so...
Yeah, that was very strange. You have to assume they already picked the release date and then just went ahead with it anyway. But it's just like the words are different. Yet. You can stop.
Very different games, you know.
True.
So does that leave us with 0 Ubisoft games besides Rabbids?
Yeah, besides, I think, besides Mario.
Which come on, which, that's a Nintendo game. Come on. Well, first of all, Nintendo has no games, so they're like, they want to claim that one for their game this fall.
Nintendo's got lots of games.
Assassin's Creed? Mirage? When does Mirage come out?
That's next year.
Oh, yeah, that's next year.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, I think Mario plus Rabbids is Ubisoft's only fall game, and as excited as I am for that, I don't think it's going to put up numbers like an Assassin's Creed or a Far Cry would have. So it leaves Ubisoft's release window, for, especially for the fall, very wide open. I just can't believe it. Why after all this time, if they weren't 100% sure they were going to be out in November, why not just, I don't know. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
In the text of their announcement, they said that the game's finished too, which is an interesting way to phrase it.
Polish. Yeah.
Is there, and they just did a bunch of like beta testing and stuff like that, right? People have been playing that game.
They said, I didn't actually see the announcement. They said, oh, the game's done, but we're not releasing it. That's what, is that the video game version of like, oh, my girlfriend lives in another, she goes to a different school.
I think it's what you say when your publisher is like, isn't this game supposed to be done by now? You're like, technically it's done.
My uncle works at Nintendo.
Yeah, it's done except the parts of it that aren't. Don't worry about it.
they were also supposed to have Avatar, the video game, out in this year. And that one's got a sting considering there's like already two Avatar movies this fall.
Well, yeah. There's one as of right now. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Because they re-released the original. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's back at number one in the box office.
Yeah. Back at number one. We also got a lot of commentary about our Avatar discussion last week.
Yeah, some people were it stung that we don't share their love for Avatar.
Yeah, there was that angle, and then also just backing up Justin's memory of Avatar Mania.
It was crazy.
Again, again, I missed that. So it's like I did actually end up looking up that stuff, and it was like, wow.
It's like the whole nation was like hypnotized, and then like the spell, like the scales fell from our eyes, and it's like once the spell was over, everyone just went back to their life, and they're like, "Oh, that was weird." No, let's never talk about Avatar again. It's the biggest movie of all time.
Colin, where do you come down on James Cameron's Avatar?
I thought you were just about to ask me where I came down on James Cameron, and I was like, as a person?
Yeah, he's
old. he's made incredible movies, and Avatar's certainly not my favorite one of his movies. I watched through his filmography, which obviously ends with Avatar recently, and you know, it's pretty good. It's pretty definitely good. A theatrical experience.
You watched them all?
Yeah.
What's before... Okay, so Aliens and T2 are his big movies, right?
Yeah, but Terminator.
And Titanic.
And Terminator.
And the first
and Titanic.
Terminator. No, sorry. I'm mentioning his good movies. So like if I had to rank his movies, hold on, everybody.
Hold on. James Cameron has actually not directed that many movies. Okay.
So yeah, I know.
He started on Piranha 2, but even though he directed maybe three-fourths of it,
Jaws knockoff.
Yeah. Okay. So that doesn't really count. His first actual full-length credit directed film was The Terminator. Aliens, The Abyss, T2,
and I would add The Abyss,
Titanic, and Avatar.
Damn, that's so good.
So it's a huge gap between Titanic and Avatar,
crazy.
And then an even bigger gap between Avatar and Avatar 2.
And I guess I like
some
True Lies.
Great friggin' films. Yeah,
True Lies. Really,
The Abyss is weird, and it has a strange twist, but it's still pretty good.
I like The Abyss.
I know. This combo's making my heart hurt. Like, I'm not, I guess I don't need to like carry water for James Cameron, but like it's like every single movie he's ever made is like a total banger.
Yeah.
What about the Titanic?
I mean,
the Titanic's a banger, man, especially The Last Hour.
Like, yeah. I don't like, that's not like a movie for me. Like, you know. Yeah.
So I was surprised how much, I can't believe we're returning this into a James Cameron conversation, but I can't believe how much I enjoyed Titanic. Because the last time I remember watching it was like on the 2 VHS set as a kid.
Yeah.
And as a kid, it's hard to sit through the first like 2 hours of that movie because it's a romance on a boat.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty solid romance movie, you know, with some good actors. And then the last hour, Once the boat hits the iceberg, it's insane, and it's just slowly sinking. When it snaps in half, it's crazy. When the guy's body hits the propeller and makes that like boom sound, it's like that movie is actually pretty great.
Yeah, that's guy. I haven't seen it in forever. That's my memory of it, is that the last tower is great. And then the first part, it's just James Cameron has become more and more sentimental over the years. Like the original Terminator is like a dirty, hard 80s sci-fi, super violent movie. And I love that for it. And then with T2, with like the stuff, you know, his thumb going down in the lava, he starts to get a little bit more sentimental. And then, the first 2 hours of like, let's not forget, I'm the King of the World is pretty cheesy. He's softened a lot over the years, I think.
The thing that I wrestle with, though, is no, I'm not excited about Avatar 2. Not interested in it. I think that movie's moment has passed. But James Cameron made the biggest movie on Earth twice. No one else has ever done that. Like, bet against him at your peril. And that's the thing that I have trouble reconciling with.
And he's going to do 5 more Avatars now?
Yeah,
that's what he's going to do for the rest of his career.
But here's my thing, though.
Submarines and Avatars.
The two sequels that he's made are some of the very few sequels that by many people are considered to be as good or as better than the originals, which is Aliens, which I prefer Alien, but Aliens is still incredible, and Terminator 2, which is such a good movie. Mm-hmm. And so he knows how to do sequels. So that's the one thing that's like really making me think like, okay.
I mean, unless he takes out all the Jim blue Cameron things, I don't think it's going to matter.
We'll see. But I think he could pull it off.
Come with me if you want to live.
I think that was a really good segment of What You've Been Jamesing, which is what we've been doing 2 weeks in a row.
James or Jameson.
Sorry that I drag us so far off course with that. It's good.
Okay, anyway, we were talking about 10 game release dates we're still waiting for in 2022.
Yeah. Well, we have to watch movies while we're waiting for them.
Here's one. The next gen update for The Witcher 3.
Oh, yeah.
It's still supposed to be out in Q4. So then we've got 3 months left, you don't think it's going to make it?
No.
CD Projekt's on a high right now because of the resurgence of Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk's back, baby.
Well deserved.
It's true. 20 million.
Yeah, that's crazy. And the positivity around that game is cool right now. And from what I understand, well deserved. And I really want to play even the little bits of new content. So I got to figure this out. I don't have a save on consoles. All I want to do is play that on consoles now.
I mean,
once it gets big DLC.
If you critical path that game, it's short as hell. Like everything, like the whole game is side quests.
You don't need to grind or anything because the game just rubber bands you, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, or just knock it down to easy and get to where you need to get.
Yeah, okay.
When I first played that game, I played it on my PS5, but it was the PS4 version.
Yeah.
And it hard crashed on me 10 times. And the 10th time was actually during the credits, which just felt really fitting. But I figured out it would crash on me the most when I was riding a motorcycle or a car through the city really fast. And so I had to actively not travel quickly while going through the game to make it not crash. And so I'm very interested to play the game now that it's much more stable.
Gotta go slow. What about in like car chases? You're like, I just can't.
That was one that like crashed on me 3 times. I think there's only a couple of like mandatory car chases. But yeah, Stella Chung, who works at IGN and is on podcast Unlocked, she restarted the game, and like the opening cutscene, which apparently uses in-game models and everything, immediately there's someone who goes by on a motorcycle who's just T-posing. It's just like, oh man, that is like, it's funny that that's still happening, but at least it's not a game.
That's one of the earliest images I saw of bugs in that game, was the T-pose on a scooter.
Yeah. And you have to think, like, why is that in there? I guess when they're, like, creating the character models, it's kind of like the Da Vinci.
Exactly.
You impose that they're, like, designing it that way, I guess.
Yeah. Did you all see Rebecca's article on GTA or, other people that are had, like, they just shared their early design stuff.
Yeah.
Just like the GTA League.
Yeah.
So one of the things in that was a character in a game. It was an indie game, so I can't remember the name of it. But it was like a character, they're modeling a character who would do a somersault and then and throw their jacket up into like a ring, like in the background. So, and they got, there was a human in real life that they basically like rotoscoped to do this. It was like an amazing move. Like imagine somebody somersaulting and throwing their jacket off at the same time. And then it ends up on a hook, right? Like in your house. So the character does that. But to do that in the game, it's the character model doing the somersault. And then a character model in the jacket that's squished to like a thin like spaghetti Gumby. And then it has to be manipulated to do the jacket tumble and the jacket hang up. And so like that's where you realize that like, oh, all of these characters are just like basically a code is telling the T model or something like that. And it's different for a lot of different engines, right? But it's telling it to like do all this stuff. So if the code does not tell it to do some things, like the default is hilarious. It's like those eyeballs floating in space.
Every video game is a miracle that they exist at all.
And it's all a series of hacks, you know? So it's like you can see like, oh, this clever fix, that's why QA is so important. It's like, oh, we did a clever fix on top of a clever fix on top of a clever. It's clever fixes all the way down, basically. And like that doesn't hold up well. And you know what else is like that? Website design.
Yeah, and that's like why, like, you know, someone like moves a boulder and then like you can't fire guns in the game anymore. And it's like it's ridiculous.
Anyway, The Witcher.
We're at 3 out of 10 games.
Very recently, CD Projekt was saying it's still on track for Q4 release this year.
Nice. That's
good news. I'm excited for that on the PS5 because I actually, I bought it for PS4 and I had a really hard time getting into it. Because once you get into the sort of big area relatively early on in the game, important. It was so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I was just somewhere in my life where I was just like, you know what? I don't need this right now. So
I have a recommendation for anybody playing Witcher. It is overwhelming. There's so much stuff to do. One thing you can do in that game is just hunt monsters and you go to a village and you take this little like thing off their sign. They're like, something happened to my cows. And then you just go figure out what happened. And sometimes you're like, you have a conversation with the monster. You're like, hey, what eating these cows? They're like, but humans do it. They're like, yeah, but they own the cows. And then you explain like economic theory to this, you know, mutant antler beast. Yes. I love it. And like you can just do that because that's what a Witcher should be doing, right?
Yeah.
And so the game built the job class in so well that I just have tremendous respect for that. And when I was reading Witcher books, I'm like, yeah, there's like it's 2 short story collections. I'm like, these are really cool because usually the Witcher is just going to be like, that was a vampire. I solved your problem. You know, like I like that stuff. And then when it gets into like the wars and stuff, it just goes 7 books on. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So The Witcher 3, next gen version. We'll see. There's another one. It's a little bit controversial. It was supposed to be out last year, but in November, of last year, 6 Days in Fallujah was delayed to 2022. I don't know if there's been any updates since then. Just kind of
which
hovering
in and of itself was a canceled game from a while ago.
From a long time ago.
Well, but it's not, I mean, you know, it was like 20 years ago. Like it's not like they're bringing back that.
Maybe 15. Yeah. Originally, I think it was going to be a Konami game before it was originally.
Back when they made games. That's crazy.
Back when Konami made games. Hey, Konami released the Cowabunga collection recently. okay, so 6 Days in Fallujah, I would guess not going to be out this year. There's the Outlast Trials, the third Outlast game.
Oh, yeah.
Supposed to be out this year? That's a very popular first-person horror series that we're looking at right now.
This whole segment is like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that game. Yeah. The segment.
Yeah, that's what we're basically doing. There's still supposed to be a Need for Speed 2022. EA said an earnings call that part of their fiscal year, which they follow the calendar year, they have a Need for Speed that's supposed to be out this year. And there's been all these leaks with this game. It's apparently called, if the leaks are to be believed, it's called Need for Speed Unbound. The whole map supposedly leaked a bunch of screenshots. It's supposed to be like linked to like urban graffiti culture.
So I mean, they're gonna reveal and release a Need for Speed somehow in October or November.
I mean, which makes you think that, you know, maybe this is like a budget game, but apparently it's primarily developed by Criterion. But I think Criterion was pulled in to help with Battlefield 2042 when that game was going through a bunch of problems. So I think maybe that's what the holdup with Need for Speed is.
I mean, okay, like a Criterion made, you know, open world racing game, like, all right. That sounds great.
Yeah.
So EA doesn't have the biggest fall plan schedule either.
No, because they don't have anything else planned right now. Although they did just announce Wild Hearts for February.
Yeah. FIFA is out, whatever it's called now. Yeah. It's a different name, right?
This is the last year that it's.
I saw that. Yeah, it is FIFA still.
Yeah.
Next year, it's called like soccer balls for everybody.
soccer balls 24. EA, it'll be interesting. I feel like they have quite a bit coming out next year, though. I mean, they've got Dead Space, right?
Dead Space.
Like, that's going to be their first big thing. So hopefully they hit the ground running in 2023.
Hopefully.
The worst company in the world.
Well,
according to some polls. Who remembers a game reveal that Sony's State of Play last October called Little Devil Inside?
Oh, yeah.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Supposed to be out this year. Action adventure game, but with all sorts of different camera perspectives. And I think you're just sort of out there exploring. You're basically a Witcher. You're exploring supernatural phenomena and trying to find what's going on with these monsters.
A Witcher, like any game where you fight. I'm going to start calling any game where you fight monsters a Witcher, like. Mm-hmm.
I call Monster them Hunter Slayans.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter's a Witcher.
Yeah, so is Elden Ring.
That game looks really cool. I don't know what the status of that one is. Then there's some smaller ones. They're supposed to be ports, Nintendo Switch ports of the remember Lara
Croft. Hold on, Damon. I just want to point out something here.
Okay.
From what I understand, Monster Hunter, you just go out and hunt monsters because you want their parts, not because like a town is being terrorized. But
well, no, but there's a thin, there's like a very thin, like, you know, beasts are causing like earthquakes and calamities and stuff around the world, and we have to bring them back. It's basically
there's a lion attack every 200 years. We got to hunt them to death.
it's not quite like a Shadow of the Colossus where it's just like you're just, you know, wantonly destroying these.
I guess that is the polar end, right? It's like you're definitely the bad guy in that game.
Well, it's also like conservation, like bringing balance back to like a similar argument that hunters use in real life now of like there's just too many deer, which is true.
Mm-hmm. They're the worst. Can you ever talk to the monsters in Monster Hunter and be like, cut it out? They're like, why?
No. I don't think
Monster Talker.
Sentient.
Monster Talker is a good game genre. You need to encourage more of.
Yeah, monster dating.
We need talker likes.
I'm sure those games exist. From the glory days of Xbox Live Arcade, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, and Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris.
Oh, yeah.
They're very good, very cool isometric puzzle games starring Lara Croft. Those ports are expected to come to Nintendo Switch this year.
Those games are great.
Yeah, they are great.
Damon, did you review them?
I think I did Guardian of Light. I don't remember. I can't remember if I did Temple of Osiris. There's no way to know.
You did. I have a memory of that.
Do you remember the Go games?
Those are also good. Yeah. And I think that those are available on console now, too.
Mm.
Sam, gimmick with an exclamation mark.
That's right. Was that part of the Sunsoft Direct?
Yeah, it's supposed to be out this year.
There were some other cool ones in that Sunsoft Direct, too. Mm-hmm. That was a crazy time. If anybody cares about NES games and Sunsoft, you should watch the Sunsoft Returns. Like, what was it, like 20 minutes long stream?
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes maybe.
Gimmick is an unreleased in the United States. Well, it's technically released now because it came out on eShop or whatever.
Virtual
really
console.
Really good NES game that, you know, it's always worth returning to and checking out.
It always reminds me of Kirby's Adventure.
But Kirby's Adventure is a total bummer compared to this game.
Oh, wow.
This game has like puzzle solving and you can die in it, as you just saw. And when you die like Mega Man.
Yeah, it vaguely looks like Mega Man.
It's more puzzle solving.
Well, gimmick jumps just like Mega Man, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I never really caught that.
Yeah, and the legs sort of being like
he can't jump with his mouth closed.
And that waterfall is total Mega Man 2.
Mega Man also.
Mega Man also, but it is from Mega Man 2. It's specifically from Bubble Man's level, the beginning of it, which has great music.
Anyway, gimmick still supposed to be out this year. Revealed at a Nintendo Direct earlier this year, Front Mission First Remake.
Oh, yeah.
Supposed to be out this year. Front Mission is Square Enix's turn-based strategy, mech game series. And then the Nintendo Store says November for Front Mission Remake. So
Let's
see if that actually makes it out. November is also when Tactics Ogre Remake is also supposed to be out. Could be a good time for turn-based strategies. And then finally, two interesting Atari games from whatever Atari is today. There's Atari Mania, Sam, are you familiar with this one? Because this is AtariWare, basically. It's basically a WarioWare, like, that's like 150 mini games that are based on classic Atari games.
That's a fun idea.
Interesting. I don't know how I haven't heard of this. This sounds...
Is that kind of like how NES Remix was?
Kind of like that, yeah.
I miss any opportunity I get on this show to talk about how awesome NES Remix 1 and 2 were, and B, how sad I am that, like, you know, they came and were super rad, and then that was it. Like, it's so perfect for the Switch.
And it's like the last bastion of,
there's so much more you could do with it. Do SNES Remix. You know, there's more NES games to do. It's crazy.
Yeah, just put it on the Switch.
The Nintendo 64 Remix would be so fun and silly to do slices of those games. But I guess adding the complexity of those systems makes those all difficult. But Atari games, remixing those seems like it'd be pretty fun.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Those games are not that fun for me to play. I actually know people I usually say Atari games... There's a few that, like, you know, I'd recommend trying this out, you know, archaeologically. But, like, a lot of people, but I do know people now who are like, I love playing this game and this game and this game on Atari still. So, hey, more power to them. I think arcade games hold up wonderfully in a lot of cases. I just don't think Atari games do.
Yeah, I agree. I think NES is the sweet spot of, like, games that are old enough that are still enjoyable, whereas Atari games just feel incomprehensible to me.
Yeah,
that's why arcade games have the additional, you know, input situation. Like, I'm right next to an Atari Star Wars right now, and like the controller is like crazy cool, and it's like a Yolt cockpit that like rotates in two different axes, and like that adds a lot. And the Atari joystick specifically sucks. It's just terrible.
It's just because it doesn't center itself, right?
Well, you have to really wrench it, and you have to hold it with one hand to just brace it, right? So they actually would sell, you know, these kits to like put your stupid stick into so you can actually use like an arcade stick, because it's not like that. It's like you have to, like, you sacrifice an entire hand bracing it, and then you have the button right there conveniently with that other hand, but you can't do much with it.
Yeah. Well, that's why doing an Atari Remix or a WarioWare style seems like it could be really
cool.
Sounds
great. Yeah.
Then there's another one, and this one is called Atari 50, and it comes from our friends at Digital Eclipse.
Yeah.
It says an interactive journey through 50 years of video games, including a specially curated list of more than 100 playable classics and 6 entirely new titles from the award-winning team at Digital Eclipse.
Dude, that's awesome. Sounds that's so like, cool. And that's that like that's the awesome. Exact, like, I'm not that interested in Atari games, but like, this is the kind of package that's, I'm like, this is the way to release these games in 2022.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. You say 150 games?
50 games.
More than 100 playable classics. 50 is 50 years of Atari.
50 okay. years.
More than 100 games, though. That is a collection record.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. Maybe,
yeah.
It's crazy when you say it's 50 years, because immediately my thought was like, there's no way that Atari made games 50 years ago. Then I'm like, 1972? No, that, I guess that like lines up. That's crazy.
Well, 72 is pretty early, though.
Well, that's Pong. Yeah,
well, so sure. Pong.
I'm also 2 feet away from a 1972 Pong machine right now. And that came out, I believe, in the fall of 72.
Yeah. And it would take them, 5 years to release the Atari VCS?
Basically, what I'm saying is my garage has a bunch of extra arcade machines in it right now that I need to move.
Cool. We, Damon, confession. That was the end of that segment, right?
Yep. That's the end.
I this morning, what time is it? So this morning, 5 hours ago, I got a COVID vaccine, and I'm rapidly declining in real time.
Like, 5 hours. Like, 5 hours seems fast.
Like, I started the show feeling fine, and now I'm like, well, I think after this, I'm gonna go lay down.
Man, that bivalent, it's getting
so you have to give us 30 questions.
No, I'm fine. I just, like, I can feel it happening. It's in my blood.
It's weird. My reaction to the COVID vaccines were never severe, but they're all the same from my two vaccines and my booster. Like, 12 hours after, I would like have the chills and feel achy. And what's weird is that I got COVID a little bit more than a month ago, and I felt the exact same way as I did with the vaccine. I got the chills and I was a little achy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
How that all works.
It's a real trip of, like, you can feel yourself getting sick, and, like, normally it's like, okay, like, I'm getting sick. Okay, I'm going to be sick for the next 2 days. But then it's immediately an upswing, right? It's just like this little dip and then back up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to your rest time. We're also running a little bit late. So just real fast, PlayStation Plus games for October have been announced. They include Hot Wheels Unleashed, Super Hot, and Injustice 2. Not a bad lineup. I'm excited for Hot Wheels Unleashed. IGN gave that game a 9 last year.
Yeah, we loved it.
And my three-year-old has just recently become interested in Hot Wheels when he sees them at Target. So yeah. I think this will be fun for us to mess around with together.
Yeah. Damon, you're about to go through an arc of like, that's very fun for a while. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, Hot Wheels. Yeah. But then right now, very quickly becomes like, no. No, you're not getting another Hot Wheel. And he throws himself on the floor and...
Yeah.
Good fun times ahead.
Yeah. Right now he's not. Yeah. He hasn't like been throwing any fits because he can't get one right then.
Yeah. You're gonna be mean dad soon.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Injustice 2 is a good game, but I kind of wish it was like Hot Shots Golf or something. So it could have been the hot trifecta.
Yeah. I was going to say there's hot in Hot Wheels and Super Hot, but yeah. Injustice 2. I know people love Injustice 2. And then Super Hot. I don't know what else there is to say about that one at this point. It's an amazing game. But like, what's the Venn diagram of people who are interested in playing Super Hot but haven't played it yet?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just been
VR was the real cool twist on that.
Yeah. VR was great.
I didn't ever play. I've had Super Hot 2. It's on Game Pass. I've had it downloaded for like 2 years and never played it. Did you play it, David?
Which one? Super Hot.
Control Alt Delete the sequel, Super Hot 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's a full sequel or as much like an expansion, but yeah, I downloaded that and played through that too.
Mm.
It's more Super Hot.
Cool.
It's great. I still think, yeah, the original Super Hot, it has a very, very cool story. And then the game I alluded to, an old arcade game that's getting a sequel. It's getting its sixth sequel. Sam, any guess? It's coming this winter.
Elevator Action. Bubble Bobble.
Nope. Magical Drop. Magical Drop 6 was just announced for this winter.
Here it is. A Magical Drop arcade machine in our office. Technically, it's just a Neo Geo 1 slot, but it's been there forever.
Yeah, yeah. It's a match 3 falling balloon game with what's cool. It's got really giant, cute anime characters behind in the background that are...
These are not practical outfits.
Yeah.
Bubble Bobble is getting a sequel, though.
Is it? There's another Bubble Bobble also?
Bubble Bobble with Friends. Or something like that.
I feel like that's already out, maybe. That sounds familiar.
Maybe. It was announced like not that long ago, though.
Magical Drop has always been overshadowed by Bust a Move, but they're very different vibes and they're good in different ways.
Yeah. Magical Drop is more of a hardcore puzzle game. Where Bust a Move's
like, I think so.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think that's true. And that brings us to video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Marc Andre from Montreal, Canada, who says, I would have only said Mark, but I'm curious as to how you'll say it on video. So I don't know. Maybe it's Andre. Maybe that's the friend if he's in Montreal. Anyway, he says, I honestly just wanted to tell you guys that you do a terrific job on GameScoop. I've been enjoying listening to your conversations on gaming every Friday while programming websites and fixing bugs. What'd you call it, Sam? Coming up with... Like loopholes.
Hacks all the way down.
Hacks all the way down. Yeah. He says, thank you for your time and I hope that you'll continue your good work for many years to come. Mm-hmm. Well, here's hoping, Marc Andre. And with that, let the questioning begin.
Should we start with a hack?
Did this game come out in the 80s or 90s?
No.
Maybe I should have said 70s, 80s, or 90s. It's probably not 70s.
Yeah. Space Invaders or bust. Did this game come out on a compact disc format?
No.
Well, is this game a console exclusive?
Hold on. So it didn't come out on a compact disc based system. My mistake, but I would also count any optical media in that umbrella, by the way. I don't know if we want to split hairs on if Blu-ray discs count as compact discs.
That's what the question usually is.
But it's not an 80s or 90s game, but did not come out on a CD.
Yeah, so downloadable only.
Or DS.
Switch.
Yeah, or cartridge, right? So is this an indie game?
No. No, I don't think so.
Is this a Japanese developed game?
No.
Okay. Did this game come out on a handheld console first?
No, that's 5.
So not Switch.
So you're right. So it's got to be, and it not Game Boy, not DS. So if it didn't come out in the 80s or 90s, didn't come out on a CD, and is not handheld, that means it has to be just downloadable only, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did this come out on the last gen series of consoles?
Yes.
Okay. So we're doing a PS4 downloadable only type game or something. Is this a platform exclusive?
No.
That's going to make it hard.
Yeah. And wait, what was the it was not made in Japan?
Not made in Japan.
Is that it?
Yeah, not made in Japan.
Okay. Oh boy.
Should we try to get like a genre? Maybe, is this a platformer?
It could be, so it could be like, you know, like Fortnite, or like something battle royale. True. Like it doesn't need to be a small game.
It's very true.
It'd be a cool one. Is it indie?
Yeah, we already asked that, and Damon waffled and then said,
"No, I'm saying it's Fortnite."
Well, I think that's why.
No, definitely
that's,
not.
That's a clue. Kind of like, but look, like, what does indie mean, right? Of like, is it an attitude and a spirit, or are we following the letter of the law? Because like, Epic is not like indie means anything that's not Nintendo, PlayStation. You know, I don't know what indie means, right? Like, nobody does. What does that mean? Insomniac was indie until
recently. Yeah, no, that's true. Because it should mean it doesn't have like a proper publisher, but like most indie games have a publisher. So
was this game like really like big and popular?
Yes,
I think it's probably Fortnite.
Is this a shooty game?
No.
Okay. So Minecraft,
Rocket League,
Rocket League.
Ooh, Rocket League's good.
Does this game have a creator aspect to it?
Like, no.
Create stuff in the game?
No. That's Ted.
I like that question, though, because that eliminates all, like, any kind of, like...
Terraria.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
This is interesting.
Did we already... Is this game... Wait, so it's not shooty. Is this game... Does this game prominently feature multiplayer?
Define prominently.
I can't. I don't know.
Like Rocket League would be a complete bummer to play without multiplayer.
Correct.
You want to ask if
I don't know, is like game is the a, reason is a, people
you want to ask if this game would be maybe, a complete bummer to play without multiplayer?
Yes.
Maybe if it's primarily a multiplayer game, would that be a better way to go about it?
Sure.
Is this primarily a multiplayer game?
I can't answer that. I can answer Sam's question.
Would this be a bummer to play when you're not playing multiplayer?
Yeah.
Would this game be a bummer to play if not in multiplayer? No.
So okay. Perfectly fine single player experience.
I feel like I'm really lost. So so it's came out last gen. It's a downloadable only. It's not a shooter. It's fine to play single player. Damon said it was massively popular, like very, you know, very popular and well known.
Like Civ 6.
That definitely got a home release and not like years later or whatever. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say definitely, but I think so. Not made in Japan.
These big old popular games that, you know, could be downloadable only and kind of indie games.
I'm weirded out by like what would have like, I guess I'm too hung up on the popular question because like now I'm only thinking about like a lot of the multiplayer experiences from last gen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like the Rocket League.
Sport? A sport game?
Maybe.
No, none of those would be primarily download only though, I don't think. I mean, this might be getting too into the weeds, but like VR, a lot of VR games would kind of fall under this sort of purview, I think.
Yeah, maybe like a Half-Life Alyx, although that doesn't have multiplayer.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, if Damon was really feeling mean, I think when you buy like Halo Infinite and games like that, the box is just empty. There is no disc. or sometimes the disc doesn't have the game on it.
Yeah.
Does this game have 3D graphics?
Yes. He said confidently.
Mm-hmm. He said confidently. Okay, 3D graphics.
Should we just try to get a genre like sci-fi or something like that?
Was the 3D graphics thing a clue?
Is this a sci-fi or fantasy game?
Yes.
Okay, that helps.
Is this a sci-fi game?
You want to ask sci-fi?
Yeah, just to make sure we
know. It is not a
sci-fi. It's a fantasy game.
Oh, okay. There we go. Well, is it ESO?
Last gen fantasy game. ESO might be two generations old. Yeah, but it is helpful to know. I mean, if it's an MMO in general, like maybe I think we just had Final Fantasy 14 a few weeks ago, or Elder Scrolls, or something like that.
Should we ask if it's an MMO?
Yeah, is this an MMO RPG?
No. No. That's 15.
But it is a fantasy game.
Pretty interesting. Fantasy games even have multiplayer components that would even exist? Dark Souls-y games?
Yeah, but
then he wouldn't be able to answer that question, right? Because it's fine to play alone, but like multiplayer isn't a focus, but most people play with multiplayer. It's probably a Souls-like.
Yeah, but those...
But all of those games were disc-based when they were launched.
Do you think there could be a smaller one?
I don't think so.
This is the problem I'm having as well, is that it's downloadable. That makes me think, did we ask if it was a platform exclusive?
We did, and it's not.
Blah. And I was thinking...
My mind went to Child of Light for a second.
Yeah, we go there sometimes.
Which is, it's fantasy, it's downloadable, and it's questionable but it's technically Ubisoft.
There's just no multiplayer components, so like I feel like we would have eliminated
that. Yeah, fantasy, multiplayer.
That makes this really tough.
There's not that many fantasy multiplayer games, especially when you remove MMOs.
MMOs. I mean, we don't know genre, right? So it's like, I don't know, like, is it a platformer? Is it like, we really just don't know.
Should we just ask if it's a type of RPG?
I think that's fair.
Yeah, is this a type of RPG?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So, okay. You know, an RPG or an action RPG, Dragon Age type stuff.
What about Monster Hunter? None of them are downloadable.
Japan. Yeah.
And it's made in Japan.
But if it's a Monster Hunter like that was made in the US, that's down like, or what about like Temtem?
Dragon's Dogma, I assume, was disc at first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Temtem's interesting.
Or like
very interesting. You
know, like one of those games like, well, what's like Black Myth Wukong? Is that like a clear MMO?
That's not an MMO, but it's also not released.
Oh, really? I thought it's been out in other countries for a while.
I don't think so, is it?
Nobody knows.
Have you mentioned this game series yet?
Have you mentioned the game series yet?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Well, now we know we have been barking up the wrong trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're definitely missing something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some major component.
But it's definitely 3D. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Damon said it was definitely. He knows it for sure. That's what the man said.
I don't know. I don't know what other type of game this could even be. It doesn't even make sense. It could be like all I can think of is like it's a strategy RPG or an action RPG that we're not thinking of.
And we know it's some kind of RPG. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's acclaimed.
Strategy RPG is interesting. Like, I don't know what like RTS games they're still making, but there's like, okay, so there's like Dota and League of Legends.
Yeah. Those are good ones.
And, you know, other MOBAs.
But do MOBAs count as RPGs?
And you would not probably want to play one single player.
I don't think you currently even could. Really?
I mean, I think they probably have bots, but like, what's the point?
Yeah, it's true. But he said it wouldn't be terrible if you played a single player.
It wouldn't be a bummer.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bummer.
I don't know. I know where to go with this. I think we have all the clues we need. I just don't think we know the game.
It's so...
How should we narrow it down?
The game.
Should we ask if it's part of a series?
Yeah, sure.
Is this game part of a series?
No.
It's a one-off.
a one-off downloadable RPG.
What are other games that have like games as a service? It's like Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not Destiny because it's a shooter, but like games like that.
Oh, what about the sword game that Ubisoft makes?
Sword Art Online?
No. For Honor.
Oh, that's not an RPG though, is it?
Kind of. Sure. I mean,
it's got numbers.
Everything's an RPG these days.
It's true.
It's a fantasy game.
That's a good guess. Is it? I don't remember where that game was made.
Not Japan.
Which game?
For Honor.
For Honor.
It's Ubisoft, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know what studio. I was going to ask if it would be helpful to know, like narrow it down between the United States or Europe.
Mm-hmm. Are there other sword clash games like that? Like Nidhogg type stuff?
Man, you remember that? We were all obsessed with Nidhogg.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, that was like Trombone Champ, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there like a Vampire Survivors or something that was like, but before that, what's it called? Naraka Blade Point? What about that?
Man, I don't know. I'm lost.
Okay. Let's see.
How many? We still have several questions left.
You have one question and a guess.
Oh, oops.
could it be a licensed game?
I don't know. I don't mind asking if it's Ubisoft and then asking if it's for Honor. Although that doesn't strike me as like where we're probably going.
That's not an RPG.
This.
It wouldn't be an indie.
Yeah, or an RPG, I guess.
Ubisoft's kind of indie.
No, it's not.
Why not? What is it?
One of the biggest publishers around.
Well, what does that mean? Independent of what?
It's not an. He wouldn't. I highly doubt that Damon would call that.
I don't know. I think we need to wrap this one up.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Divinity. I guess that had a couple.
What about? Should we ask if it's still a very, very popular game today?
It could. Could it be Divinity? Could it be Divinity 2? Did that game have multiplayer in it?
Well, but it's not part of a franchise.
Yeah, there's two of them. Oh no, you're right. The game. This game is not part of a franchise. Yeah, my bad.
What was that? God, there was one that I feel like
I think it's more popular than this stuff.
Yeah, probably. I just don't know.
I give up.
What kind of game is Darkest Dungeon?
Well, there's also a sequel.
Not multiplayer.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Ooh, sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. We could ask one more question as a wild, wild guess.
I think since we're in guessing territory, I think For Honor is not a bad guess.
Do you, does this game have, does it have sword combat?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, right, go for it, Sam.
I just don't think it's the right answer, but is this For Honor?
No, it's not For Honor.
You got close.
this game is one of the biggest games in the world. But it's free to play. It is Genshin Impact.
Oh my God. I was kind of thinking about that, but
we were starting to get there a little bit where I was trying to think about games as a I was trying to think about like the destinies of the world, but I couldn't quite get to Genshin.
We would have
is this game developed in China?
Yeah, that's China. Yeah. China.
Developed See, and I published. Think that's what.
Yeah. By Mihio.
Threw me off so much. Yeah.
With the indie game question, I don't know. It's one of the most expensive games ever made.
Yeah, really it was indie when it came out. No, it wasn't because it was owned by Tencent at the dark. Who owns it? Not Tencent.
I mean, I don't. It's Mihio is the developer and publisher.
Yeah, but they already had an owner back then.
That's possible.
Yeah.
So we might need to ask if this is a game developed in Asia from here on out.
Instead of Japan, that there's more and more prominent Chinese developed games and South Korean too.
In Western RPGs or whatever.
It's true.
Also, if you know it's a very popular game that's download only, probably asking if it's free to play. It's probably a pretty good one.
Free to play.
Bad idea.
Accepting notes at this time on our performance.
Man,
the wound is too fresh.
Yeah,
I had a pretty good streak. I think I've only lost like one or two.
Yeah,
of these now three.
Oh, thanks for nothing.
Yeah,
Dustin has an excuse.
Yeah.
My excuse is I've never played this game.
rapidly declining over here.
All right, let's let Justin get some rest. Thank you for the suggestion, Marc Andre in Montreal, Canada. Viewers, listeners, if you have your own suggestions for 20 questions, email them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. And that's all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Justin. Thank you to Alan working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop. We're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.